Accession number 27189, Reel 10.
Colonel Poulsen, Reel 10. You were saying that when you took a company of the King's Guard onto the Hardanger Veda for winter training, you took live ammunition.
Took live ammunition. Mm. So we would have been able to put up a roadblock or attack and retreat again. Mm. But there was no tactical situation in this. The only the thing I wanted to teach and want what officers and men to learn was to take care of themselves. Everything was geared for that, and for the officers to take care of their men. Mm. That was the object of the whole thing. Mm. And they did not take... We had primuses, sure, mm. one for each tent, but only paraffin for cooking in the evening. So they slept without heat in the tent, and it was impossible for them to dry out socks or anything else. So if they didn't do the thing right, they would be liability for their comrades. Mm-hmm. They had no vehicles. They had to be, if a man got sick, he had to be pulled by his friends on the toboggan, and that was very important, because usually if men get tired, you know that far behind there is a vehicle who can pick you up. Mm. But nobody could pick up my men.
They had to keep going.
They had to keep going. Mm. Or be embarrassment for their comrades. Mm. And I think I was able to learn them, not least the NCOs and officers, how important this was. Mm-hmm. And I think it's wrong, if you start winter training, to mix tactics, battle drills of that kind, with survival training. What if you put in a tactical situation, for the officers, the NCOs, they think of their mission there, and they don't control all the small things in the survival technique.
How long does it take to teach the necessary basics of survival technique?
In the Guard, I used a week. Some theoretical hours in Oslo, yes. Mm. And the preparation for the marches were very thorough. But we marched for a week.
How many men did you have in a tent? What was
all
the... Eight men per tent.
Mm. And all the officers slept with their men. Mm. I slept in the tent when the... in private. Mm. I think that was also very important. So my I try to get others in this army to appreciate this way of doing things, but I don't think I have succeeded.
Why not? Why didn't your ideas get taken up?
I don't know.
How strong was the Guard? How many companies did you have in the King's Guard?
Five.
5. And you were saying you had a lot of ceremonial duties to perform, visits from heads of state, normal guard duties. Did that interfere with giving them normal military training?
It did interfere, yes. Mm. So it was very important to the short time you had for field training, infantry training, you had to have a very strict program for it. Mm. Well, I believe I succeeded. At least I think so myself.
How long did the soldiers serve in the Royal Guard? What was their...
The men?
Yes.
1 year. We had a 1 year, wasn't it?
Hmm. How far could you actually get with training them in that year then? Not, could you train them up to company level or battalion level?
Company? Yes, battalion too. Hmm. Yes, battalion.
And were you ever able to take the whole Royal Guard away on field
yes.
training?
Yes, hmm. I've done it. Not often, but I've done it. I did.
What happened then to the ceremonial when the whole Royal Guard went away? Did another regiment relieve them?
Good questions. The ceremonial were taken care of by one company.
Yes.
Secondly, for a few days, I could go with it.
So you could rotate the companies round on...
That was a very interesting time.
Did it bring you into close contact, frequent contact with the king?
Well, sure, yes. Mm.
Mm. And was he interested in military affairs?
He was. King Olaf was very interested in military affairs. Mm. And he was very keen on details. Mm. And he was a hard taskmaster. And every day when the king was at the palace, when the flag
raised
mm. or it was taken down, mm. the king was in the window looking at his watch if it was going down at the right time. And then commander of the guard, if he didn't do it so properly, he was told to do it better next time. He was a very interesting man to serve under. I met him before, and I, as a battalion commander before he was a commander of the guard. He once gave me a hell of what do you call it?
In the British Army, they call it a bollocking. A bollocking.
Bolleting?
A bollocking. If someone's complaining.
Yes.
What was that about?
I don't remember exactly. I think I answered him. I didn't understand what he really wanted to know.
Oh.
So I think my answer wasn't very, very good. Mm. So he gave me came in and left, I remember. But he was a very charming man. And it didn't matter if it was a second lieutenant or the general, he could give them in.
Did he pay frequent visits to inspect the guard?
Not frequent. Mm. Once a year.
Once a year.
Inspected the guard. Mm. But he saw if a head of state were coming on the aerodrome, we always had a company, and the king was there, so he saw the different parts of the guard frequently. But then he inspected the guard, the whole guard, once a year. And the king still does.
Did he ever appear on exercises or field training to see what was going on? Did he take an interest in those things?
He was very interested in that kind of thing, but he didn't inspect the field training the guard was having. Yeah. But if there was a larger exercise, he was always there. Later on, when I was a brigade commander, he always inspected.
What sort of things, you said he liked the timing to be right, when the standard was being raised and lowered and so on. What other sorts of things particularly interested him?
Certainly the way the guard behaved. I mean, the way the men looked, properly dressed, and so on.
What about in the field of tactics and training? Was he interested in aspects of those? Did he have any particular? Did he have any particular ideas about those areas you can remember?
I can't remember. He was interested in everything from the top to
the bottom.
And he knew quite a lot of. He always knew what they were talking about.
Where did he get his information from? Who was he being briefed by the general staff or the defence command or?
No. Well, he was certainly briefed.
Yes.
He was briefed once a week on what went on in the army. But he has climbed the ladder himself. He went to Kriegsholm. He was the second lieutenant. He was a lieutenant. And he served. During the war, he ended up as commander-in-chief of the Norwegian forces,
So he had a professional knowledge.
There's
no wonder he was very hard taskmaster to work for. Where did you go after you'd finished with the Royal Guard? What was the next appointment?
Jeg gikk til høyskolen, tenker jeg. Nå har jeg vært postet til Brigade North, the second in command. Spent one and a half year. There. That was very interesting, because the brigade commander put me used me to winter training and all kind of schemes that was the thing I did. We know the second in commands were administrating barracks and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
I was very lucky.
You didn't have to do that.
I didn't have to do that. I was always occupied with maneuvers and so on. And also, the Brigade North had quite a lot of large maneuvers. And one of them, the Brigade commander stepped on and told me, "You're a Brigade commander." And I am very grateful for that. because my next large appointment, there was as I took over Brigade 3 in the eastern part of Norway, and the first thing was a large brigade. And actually, I had a Royal Marine Battalion under my command too. And the experience I have got up north was very important for me. I had no problem taking over and running that exercise.
When you were at Brigade North, who was your brigade commander?
Colonel Iversen, you see. I think he's still living. Mm. I knew him from before.
Mm. Where was the brigade headquarters at that time?
Heglia, not far from Bardufoss. Mm.
What was on the order of battle of the brigade? What was its strength? Can you remember what units were in it? Or what...
Three infantry battalions, artillery battalion, all the other. They had all the units in brigade supposed to have order of battle.
When you were designing your schemes and your exercises for them, planning the manoeuvres, what sort of operations were you exercising and planning?
Well, mostly battalion exercises. But and also when no other units took part, we were in the area, I mean, Norwegian or British or American, whatever it was, the brigade sometimes used one battalion as an opponent and the rest of the brigade against them. And I planned a number of such things too.
Where was the emphasis? Was it on defensive operations or offensive operations?
Both. Both was a very interesting time.
What was the mobilisation role then at that time? What were the plans for deployment and operations if you had been mobilised?
Well, I don't think I can answer that.
What was the political situation like in the north at that time? Was there a sense of expectation that there might be a?
I think it was. It was not so bad. Mm-hmm. Rather peaceful, I think.
When did your exercises take place? Were they mainly in the winter, or did you have a lot of summer manoeuvres as well?
Both. But then the winter exercises, I remember. At the moment, I can't remember any summer exercises, but I wear that certainly.
And you said
and I remember one incident. General Darling, he was Sink North at the time, wasn't he?
Yes, Kenneth Darling.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had met him before, but he came up north to inspect. Large exercise, and he was very interested. Well, we had some units high up in the mountains, and we used helicopters to lift the food and what have you up to them? But Garlin wasn't interested in to see this, but he was very interested in see our Kleve company, what they call it in English, horses with
pack horses.
Pack horses. Mm. He was very interested in our pack horse company, for we used them from the depot we made up in the mountains, and use pack horses to distribute these things out to the units in the front line. And that, well, he was very interested in horses.
How did the horses compare to motor vehicles as a means of transport?
Certainly, if you can use motor vehicles or snow vehicles or helicopters, it's a much more efficient way to transport things. But up north, with those steep hillsides, we always had units up on the side. And you can't use the helicopter up in the front line. You can't use a horse vehicle up these steep hillsides. But you can use horses. So I think it was a great mistake when you stopped using horses in the Norwegian army. What else have you got to transport things up to the front?
Well, men.
Men, yes.
Porterage.
Yeah, that's the only thing you have.
But then that means that you have to use perhaps one company, a battalion,
yes,
carrying ammunition rather than that. Than fighting.
Yes, exactly.
What sort of load could you get on one of your pack animals?
I think 8. What was the standard load? Approximately 100 kilo or 80 kilo or something. Mm.
You mentioned General Darling coming up, and you mentioned that you had a battalion of Marines when you were in the South. Did you have Allied troops to exercise with in Brigade North?
Oh, yes. Huh? Very often. Mm. Very often. And very often they companies and so on was attached to the brigade.
Ah.
American, British.
Mm. And how did they perform? Were they usually well trained for mountain and Arctic warfare, or did they need?
Not at that time. Yeah. I mean, I can't say that. And I think we had an Italian battalion up there too.
Would they have been mountain troops, Alpini perhaps?
I think they were supposed to be, but they weren't very good, as far as I remember, at that time.
What?
And some British units up there also were no good at all.
Oh.
The Royal Marines started off badly, but I learned, and I'm after a while we're better than anybody else, including Brigade North. But I learned the hard way. The Royal Marine Battalion I had down here was an excellent unit, but the weather was in October, but it was cold, below zero, and after a while there wasn't much left of them.
But they were suffering from
the environment.
Environment.
Mm.
Mm. What was the most usual problem? Was it with feet or was it something else?
Mostly feet, I think. Yeah.
And you said that the Italians weren't very effective. What did they get wrong?
I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was after I left the brigade. So I have it secondhand. I can't tell you. But I think they were soft. But maybe I'm quite wrong. It's a rumor.
And you mentioned the Americans. Were they properly equipped and trained for cold weather?
The Americans were always equipped for cold weather. But usually if they had to leave their vehicles and go 10 minutes distance from their vehicles, they were lost. They were absolutely dependent on their vehicles. But I remember one American infantry company was very good. It all depends on the man in charge.
What sort of headquarters did Brigade North have? How was it set up?
Ordinary brigade headquarters. Mm-hmm.
When it went into the field, did it all go in, when the brigade went into the field, did what element of the headquarters went into the field with them? Did you have a tactical headquarters to deploy forward with the main headquarters?
I see what you mean.
Yes.
The brigade commander often took with him a small headquarters going forward. Gate 3-2 artillery commander and so on. But I think it was improvised from every time.
So he just put it together ad hoc?
Yes. That's right. Mm.
What did he take with him? He is himself and a small group of others. What sort of equipment would he take with him in his forward headquarters?
You're thinking of communication?
Yes, that's one element.
Except from communication, I don't think it was more than maps and writing paper so you could put down on paper.
How did he?
Most of the orders given in the forward headquarters was by way of mouth.
Verbal orders.
Verbal orders.
Not written orders. Mm. How did he travel? Did he have vehicles or did he have a helicopter or what did he normally use as his transport when he went into the field?
In the winter there was no vehicle. A couple of them, there was no vehicles. Mm. And if he wanted the helicopter he asked for it. Mm. To come to pick him up.
Did you have close liaison with the Air Force? Was that done by brigade?
No. Mm-hmm. It was not a standard. You had to ask for it.
Who did you go to ask? Was there a divisional headquarters higher up?
When I was up there, I don't think we were part of it. Over the reason.